And you're listening to 91.5 FM. This is WMIE Radio. This is Paul Esposito with you, station manager of this radio station. 8:30, we are getting ready to go to Pastor Bob Arthur's and the Refresh radio program. It's going to be heard in 1 minute. I just want to let everyone know out there, this week starts WMIE's fall fundraiser known as The Offering. We have set aside this week to raise up $30,000 for this radio ministry to continue its commercial-free broadcasting here at the station. We remain on the air due to partnerships. We partner with the churches such as Merit Assemblies of God and with you, our listeners. All of us together enable WMIE to remain on the air, broadcasting 20,000 watts of power, the great Bible teaching and preaching here at WMIE. It's that time of year once again, friends. We seek your partnership for another 6 months of broadcasting. If you'd like to help us, would you consider giving me a call here at the station this morning? 632-1000 is the number. Thank you to Kelly and Michael and Carol. I've had three calls already. It's been a busy morning for us here Monday. We're at $13,740. If you'd like to make a pledge, if this is one of your favorite programs, would you give us a call here at the station to ensure we continue to do what we do? Once again, 321-632-1000.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. Right here in Cocoa, Florida, you're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by Merit Assembly of God, and I am Bob Arthurs. I have had the privilege of pastoring Merit Assembly of God for nearly 23 years now, and we are just so honored to be a part of what God is doing there, and we'd like to invite you out to be a part of that. If you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come and join us and worship the Lord and grow in our faith. God has been doing some amazing things this year, and we are very thankful for that. So I do want to say this. If you attempted to come to our vintage service last week and weren't able to or showed up, please understand I had a funeral that came up and that I needed to attend. A dear friend of ours who was very instrumental, he and his wife were a great blessing to my wife and I. When we first came to Brevard County, we were serving on staff at a church. A year and a half after we got here, the company that brought me here went out of business. And during that time, that congregation loved on us and provided for us in just wonderful ways. And it was at that point in time when I was at that church that I said, you know, I really don't see how people get by without having a home church. And so if you do not belong to a church, find one. If you're in the central Brevard County, we would love for you to come and be a part of Merit Assembly of God and what God is doing there. We want to say thank you, first of all, today to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical. If you need any work done in anywhere in Brevard County, 632-9538. They do air conditioning, they do heating, and they provide electrical services as well. So 632-9538, and they can get you fixed up and up and running. This week is the offering here at WMIE from Monday through Friday. The goal is to raise $30,000. And so if the radio station has been a blessing to you, we would encourage you to call them. I don't have the phone number right in front of me. I think it's 632-1000, but I'll check on that for tomorrow's broadcast. And if it's not, look up WMIE on the internet and they can tell you what the what the phone number is. I'll try and look that up here while I'll try and multitask. But anyway, it's a great blessing here in Brevard County. A number of people listen to it all throughout through the area. And if you would like to see that ministry continue, which we would, if you give them a call, the phone number, well, it's not pulling it up there. Let's try a different area. I'll get it for you here. Sorry. This is what you get with live radio. You get all of the good and all of the warts as well. So anyway, while I'm looking that up, if you would be turning in your scriptures to Acts, the 26th chapter, we are going to be today discussing another aspect of deliverance. And let's see. And we're going to be looking at today at the life of Paul and what, let's see, here's the contact. Hey, I got the number right, 632-1000. I always like it when I get it right. But then, did you ever do that when you were in school, have the right answer, and then you second-guessed yourself right into an incorrect answer on the test? I did that on more than one occasion. But 632-1000, if the Refresh Radio broadcast has been a blessing to you, when you call in, why don't you let them know that you are a listener and that this program has been a blessing to your life? If it's been a liability in your life, you can let them know that too. But anyway, we'd like to receive any feedback that you might have. So let's look at Acts chapter 26. Nothing like starting off babbling on a Monday. Acts 26, verse number 12. This is while Paul is presenting his defense before King Agrippa. And it says this: while thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. So we're going to stop the reading right there. This, like I said, is Paul, and what he is doing as he is standing before Agrippa is he is recounting his conversion experience. And I want to start today by asking you, do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember the freedom that you felt and the glorious burden being lifted? The graciousness of God and the goodness of God. I believe it is very important for us to never lose the wonder of what it was like to be born again, to have Jesus come and wipe our sins away, forgive us, and take up residence in our heart. Did you know that an unoccupied dwelling deteriorates faster than an occupied dwelling? I don't know why that is, but it is so important. See, Jesus not only wants to cleanse our spiritual house, but he wants to take up residence. He doesn't just want ownership and be an absentee owner. He wants to occupy our lives. He wants to dwell inside of us. And so Paul begins to recount to him his conversion experience. And it says in verse number 14, and when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language. The second point that I would like to communicate to you today is that God speaks your native language. He speaks your tongue. He speaks in a manner in which you can understand him. You see, one of the challenges for me, because I have had about 4 years of a foreign language study, is whenever I hear someone speaking a foreign language, I try and pick out some of the words. How many words that they are saying can I understand? And because I want to try and stay as relevant as I can in that area. But when someone is speaking to me in English, there's no mystery there. There's no challenge there. It's very simply, what is this person saying? Because I know that I am going to understand them. And not only if you speak to me in English, but if you speak to me with Oklahoma mannerisms and Oklahoma, speech. If you talk like an Oklahoman, that's what I'm just going to try and say this. If you use those metaphors and I just cannot pull that word out. The mannerisms in which they speak in Oklahoma, I'm going to understand those. Because though I'm very familiar with those. And Paul said, when Jesus encountered me, when I encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, he spoke to me in the language that I could understand. One of the challenges that I try to eliminate when I'm preaching is I try and eliminate using language that might sound impressive, but it would be hard for people to understand. I try to keep the good news of Jesus Christ very simple. I'm not trying to impress anyone with my vocabulary skills, as is evident on this program today. My goodness, my tongue. Lord, have mercy on my tongue today. Guide my tongue. But I try and make it to where a child could understand it and an adult could be challenged. Those are the two spectrums. Those are the two goals that I try and shoot for. Is make it simple. Let's not use Christianese language all of the time. Let's bring it down. Like, for instance, gospel means good news. Evangelist it simply means one who brings good news. So I want to simplify the communication process so that people can understand it. And Jesus, you know, quite frankly, he's very secure in who he is. He's God. He doesn't need to try and impress anybody. If you are not impressed with his sacrifice on the cross, if you are not impressed with his goodness, his holiness, his virtue, his power, his might, his dominion, his military skill, his communication abilities. I mean, look at the Word of God. It is one of the masterpieces of literature that's ever been written. If you're not impressed with who Jesus is, he's not needing to impress you by overcomplicating the language he wants you to understand. One of the great examples of this that I saw in ministry happened probably close to 20 years ago. And there was a man, he was considerably older than these boys, but he came in there and all of a sudden he spoke their language. It wasn't his natural language, but he communicated in a manner in which these boys could understand that Jesus loved them. You know, lawyers get together and they speak legalese. Mechanics get together and they can speak automobile and technical. Contractors begin to speak in building terms. And if you don't understand those terms, you're going to be lost. Jesus wants us to understand. He communicated to Paul in his own language, and he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." A lot of people do not understand that when they are persecuting Christians, that Jesus takes that personally. Right now, there is persecution on a global scale like Christians have not experienced probably since Rome. Different branches of Christianity have experienced various outbreaks, but right now there is pretty much a global social, monetary, physical persecution of Christians like I've never experienced in my lifetime. And I sure didn't ever expect to see such a rapid descent into persecution on an economic scale like we have here in America. There are people who are losing their jobs for being Christians and being not just in the shadows of society, instead of just having having a desire to communicate the love of Jesus with people. So what people don't understand is that Jesus does take that personally. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Remember, Jesus said that whenever you didn't do an act of blessing, you did it not unto him. And whenever you did reach out and act and bless to one of the least of these, you did it unto him. There were going to be two separate people groups, the sheep and the goats. The sheep and the goats loved on people, and Jesus took that personally, and he blessed them. And there were others who refused to love on people, and he took that as rejection of him. And so he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And so I want to share with those who may not have this awareness, is that quite frankly, Jesus tells the persecutor, the greatest persecutor of the church at that point in time, "You are persecuting me whenever you are attacking my brothers and sisters in Christ, those that I have redeemed." Now, before you get too worked up over that, let me tell you what it says next. "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." He was saying, "Saul, even though you're doing this, I want you to know that you are fighting because I am really longing to have a personal relationship with you." For those people who are slaughtering Christians in the Middle East right now, for those people who are persecuting, I want you to know that God is not furious with you to the point that he is ready to wipe you off the planet. If he wanted you to be gone, all he would have to do is withdraw his hand. But instead, he has a patient, long-suffering heart, and he wants you to have a personal relationship with you. So what do we do at Merit Assembly of God? We pray for those who are persecuting the church. We pray for those who are being persecuted, but we also pray for those who are doing the persecuting, that their spiritual eyes would be opened so that they could understand the good news of Jesus Christ and accept Jesus' offer of salvation. So today, if you have been lashing out at Christians, I want you to know that I've got good news for you. The Holy Spirit has brought you to this radio program for today so that you could hear that Jesus loves you and he wants to forgive your sins. Paul referred to himself later as the chiefest of sinners, the preeminent of sinners, because he had persecuted the church. And yet he became the vessel that God used to bring the gospel to you and I, the good news that Jesus died upon the cross to save us from our sins and come and live inside of us. Paul was the one who wrote that down and made that message available. So verse number 15, it says, "So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?'" You see, it's not a problem to not know who Jesus is. I mean, God is able to address that situation. And Saul says, "You know, I don't know who you are, but I do realize that you are the Lord." I think a lot of times we get people introduced to salvation and we forget to introduce them to Jesus the Lord, that when they pray that sinner's prayer, that they don't have to walk out as bewildered and befuddled about life as they walked in. They can walk out knowing that Jesus is on the throne, that Jesus has a different plan for their life, and that Jesus will lead them in the paths of righteousness. Where he leads, we should follow. And so, it is something very important that Paul says, look, I don't know who you are, but I do know what you are. You are Lord. You are sovereign. And that's when Jesus, opens Paul's eyes to a very startling reality. Remember, Saul was very zealous. He knew the scriptures. He knew the Old Testament. He knew, all of the legalistic aspects, but Jesus is personally appearing to him on the road, and he tells him, he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Can you imagine what was going through Paul's mind? His name had not been changed at the time of this encounter, but it was at the time of this retelling. Can you imagine the replay that Saul had going through his mind of Stephen proclaiming the gospel, of all of those people that he had forced to try and denounce their faith? And now all of a sudden their messages are going through them. When Stephen said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Look, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. And all of a sudden Saul has this personal encounter, and the person says, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. By the way, I did a study about a year ago, and a sermon series on who's God. You know, who does the Bible say that God is? And we talked on that. You know, there's a second part of that, and that is, who does the Bible say that you are? You see, a lot of Christians know what the Bible says about who God is, but the other side of that coin is, who does the Bible say you are in Christ? It says you are a new creation. It says you're a child of the King. It says that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that you have been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. You see, there's a bit of an identity crisis. There's a world who thinks that they are doing the world a favor by persecuting Jesus, and yet that, or by persecuting Christians. What they don't realize is that Jesus is taking that personally, and he says it here, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But I want you to know that whatever wounds have been inflicted upon him, they're not going to stick. He's going to continue to be healthy and whole. You see, he has been beaten for the last time. He has been bruised for the last time. He has been crucified for the last time. You can persecute him, but you cannot destroy him. So there's a world that's fighting a God that they do not understand, that they do not know, but yet a God who knows them and speaks their language and wants to forgive them. In the meantime, we have a church who doesn't understand how desperately Jesus wants those who are persecuting him to come into relationship with him. There's a church who doesn't understand their identity in Christ. And so we are going around like spiritual zombies, if you will, because we don't realize that Jesus redeemed us for a purpose and filled us with his power. And he came that we might have life abundantly. Today you can have joy. It is okay. It is okay to have a smile on your face. It is okay to have a song in your heart. It is okay to live your life according to the Word of God. Today, I pray that God would refresh you by understanding who he is and who he has made you to be. A child of the living God, walking in power and in authority. So, he says, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. So just take a note of that word purpose for just a moment. And it says, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things that you have seen and of the things will yet reveal to you. Well, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. So I want to start with deliverance before I go back up to purpose. He says, I am going to deliver you from, and he basically says, I am going to deliver you from anybody who's trying to hinder you from accomplishing the purpose that I have set before you, whether they are Jew or whether they are Gentiles, whether they are people who know the word of God or the people who have no concept of the word of God, whether those are people who are disappointed in this new life that you are getting ready to embrace, or people who have never met you before, I am going to deliver you from every enemy that rises up that tries to stop you from fulfilling the purpose that I have in your life. You see, God redeemed you for a purpose, and there's a tremendous promise in the Old Testament. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. When you are living on purpose for his purpose, there is nothing that can be fashioned against you that can stop you from fulfilling that purpose. When Jesus told the disciples, let's go across the sea, there's ministry that I need to do over there. It didn't matter how intense the storm, and it, quite honestly, it did not matter how little the disciples' faith was or how ominous their fear was. They were going to get to the other side of that lake. Today, I want you to know that if God has called you to do something, then just go ahead and step out in faith and say, God, you know what? The purpose that you have for me, you are going to deliver me from every storm, every sickness, every financial woe. You are going to deliver me from every act of oppression, every act of persecution, whether it's from a person who knows me or a person who's never heard of me. You are going to deliver me from them so that I can accomplish the purpose that you have for me. I want you to know that God was not only making a promise to Paul at this time, but it was a promise he kept. It was a promise that he fulfilled. Thank God for his hand of protection. Today, by the way, this is Columbus Day as well. And so if you go to the bank today, you may find your bank open, but the transactions probably are going to be dated for tomorrow. Because I believe it's a Federal Reserve holiday, and so no finalized business transactions today. So, by the way, aren't you glad for living in America, even though it's an imperfect place, even though there are some religious challenges and political challenges going on? It is still we still have freedom to gather and worship the Lord and live out our faith here in America, and we have the freedom to broadcast this on the radio. Thank God for what he's created for us here in America so that we could worship him. But you were redeemed for a purpose. And today I'm going to pray for you. Maybe it's doubt, maybe it's fear, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's insecurity that has kept you from stepping out and walking in faith. I want you to realize that Paul is telling a king this news. He's telling him of his divine encounter. He's reminding him of what Jesus had done in his life. And he says later, you know, King Agrippa, I wish that everyone here experienced everything that I have except for these chains. So I'm going to pray for you today that God will deliver you from every foe that's trying to hinder you from accomplishing his purpose. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you, God, that you were able to speak to Paul in a language that he would understand, that you helped him to understand that what he was lashing out at the church about was actually something you felt very personal about. Lord, even though he didn't know you, he had heard of you, but thank God that you had a desire to save him, redeem him, and use him for your purpose. God, you said you would deliver him from everyone, from the hand of everyone who would try and prevent him from accomplishing that purpose. Lord, do it in the lives of these listeners right now in Jesus' name. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida.